Now, Mark Brenne on CFAX 1070.
Mark is on vacation. I'm Terry Moore, and we're in the slot for the next couple of weeks. And Catherine Abbott is my technical producer today. She'll be on the board picking up the telephone for you when you answer or when you ask any questions that you need from our guests. So this is part of the story. USA Today has taken a look at a now-deleted Facebook posting back in June of 2017. They published the information on Twitter back on June the 16th. And the story is, this is a trophy hunter, photo of a woman posing with a dead giraffe that she apparently killed while on a hunting trip to Africa, having sparked outrage that is online. And the story goes on to say that prayers for my once-in-a-lifetime dream hunt came true today. The woman's name is Tess Thompson Talley, and she said that she wrote on her post, spotted this rare black giraffe bull, stalked him for quite a while. I knew it was the one. He was over 18 years old, 4,000 pounds, and was blessed to be able to get 2,000 pounds of meat from him. Well, you can imagine the reaction. And certainly it's a reaction that people all around the world have looked at and said, wait a minute, you got the Trump boys who love to go hunting in Africa. You got people who are coming into Canada. And even though we've got a ban now on grizzly hunting, as far as outsiders are concerned, the First Nations community can still hunt grizzly. But we've shut that one down in the province of BC. But there's still a whole question as to what is and what isn't allowable in this country when it comes to trophy hunting. Best guy to talk about this, though, is a good friend, Chris Genovalli. He's the executive director for the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. He's joining us on the phone line today to talk about the ongoing love affair that some people around the world have in trophy hunting, particularly of species that are highly, highly endangered. Goody to take time out of your day, my friend. How are you?
Great. Thanks, Terry. It's good to be with you.
Listen, pick up on just on this African Digest picture we're talking about here. What's the story?
Well, you know, I think it's kind of an old story, a typical story. And, you know, the trophy hunter that killed this rare black giraffe, I thought it was interesting in reading about it in the New York Times that, you know, she defaulted to this a strategy that a lot of the trophy hunting lobby does these days, and that's, you know, talking about how much meat they were able to get out of their trophy. And, you know, we've seen that tactic used here in British Columbia.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's almost inevitable whenever I do a talk show on CFAX about this topic that, you know, somebody will call in from the trophy hunting lobby and talk about, you know, how they utilize the entire animal and, you know, how they can make delicious sausage out of a grizzly bear or a cougar or whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a red herring. I mean, it's a way to kind of deflect attention from the real issue, which is the gratuitous killing of animals for, you know, personal interests, such as recreational hunting or satisfying some kind of egotistical desire to take down one of these creatures. And you know what I should say, Terry, you know, neither myself or Raincoast are anti-hunting across the board, but what we are adamantly opposed to is trophy hunting, the killing of animals, and especially large carnivores, for these kinds of purposes that have absolutely nothing to do with feeding yourself or your family or with subsistence hunting. It's just a kind of self-entitled, selfish, indulgent activity that I think is becoming rapidly anachronistic. And, you know, we can see that reflected in the polls, both in British Columbia and Canada and in the United States.
You know, it's interesting to note as well that there are special game farms in some sections of the world, and certainly in the United States, where they raise lions and tigers and various other species And they bring people onto the property, and for $10,000 a piece or whatever the heck it's going to be, they can roll around on this property, and somebody will track down the lion and say, there it is. Now it's the time to take your shot. They kill them, and these people are locked into an or these animals are locked into an environment where they've only got a certain amount of space to try to get away, and they can't.
Yeah, I think most people find that abhorrent, and it, you know, I mean, we're kind of getting a bit philosophical here, but you know, there's this this mindset among the trophy hunting special interests that sees wildlife as a commodity. You know, it's a resource owned and used by humans in the pursuit of their personal interests, and it really emanates from this perspective that humans exist outside of nature and apart from other species. And when it comes to wildlife, apart from their utility for humans, they're of little importance in the larger scheme of things. And it's, you know, it's this human dominion and domination over nature that is deemed to be the natural order of things. And, you know, I think that's at the root of the problem.
Interesting you say that. I got an email here from one of our listeners, Ryan. He says that how American it is, there really is nothing that they will not attribute to prayers. Comforting to know that God approves.
Well, you know, I mean, you could. It is interesting that she invoked prayer, but, I think religious people who believe that nature is God's creation, I think, might be offended at her invoking prayer in this case.
I can't disagree with that. So listen, when we come back after we take this break, tell us what we're doing as far as this country is concerned, this province is concerned, and the animals that we're still allowed to take, and the kind of regulations that are out there. Now, they say bear hunting or grizzly bear hunting has been banned, and that's one thing. What about the polar bears? What about the elk? What about other animals across this country that are sitting on the lip of being endangered? And let's see where this is going and what you believe has got to be done and whether either provincial or federal governments are even doing anything about it. Can we do that?
That sounds great, Terry.
All right. Chris Genovalli is our guest. He's the executive director for the Raincoast Conservation Foundation. As you've heard him say, he's not against hunting. He's against this kind of this gratuitous going out and taking what they call trophy hunting just for the sake of killing them. We'll be back after this. Holiday. Mark, are you listening, by the way? I'll bet you 10 to 1 you never left town, did you? No, I know. He's hanging around for all
he's
of
always
it.
Listening.
Yeah, he's listening, but he's also hanging around for the ball games and everything else, too. So I don't blame him. Here's another topic to talk about when it comes to trophy hunting and some of the changes in the hunting regulations in the province of BC as of July the 1st. Major province-wide regulations changes for 2018 to 2020. Licensed grizzly bear hunting is banned in BC. Hunters are now required to carry all species license obtained or held for the current license year, including both canceled and uncanceled while hunting. And here's something I'm not aware of here, and I'm going to get Chris Genovalli to talk about this. Edible portions of the animals has been redefined to include meat from the neck and the ribs, and hunters are now required to remove the edible portions of a harvested cougar. Okay, Chris, pick up on this. I mean, these edible portions, what are we talking about? If you go out and you kill a deer or kill an elk, you got to take out the ribs and you got to take out the neck?
Well, and the new regulation you just referenced is been put in place for the hunting of cougars.
Only cougars.
And, you know, it's really kind of a joke. I mean, look, people that are going out to kill cougars or wolves or black bears, any
or
large
whatever.
Carnivore,
yep.
they're killing them for a trophy. And
yeah, they want it on the wall.
Yeah, on the wall or a rug on the floor or whatever.
And, yeah, yeah.
For the government to require these kinds of, pack the meat out or pack part of the meat out provisions, it's a joke, and it just only serves to kind of hoodwink the public into or attempting to hoodwink the public into thinking that these trophy hunts have something to do with with harvesting meat. And, you know, we know that's not the case. And, I mean, if you look at, and I know you're reading this from the hunting synopsis that just came out.
Yeah, exactly.
On page 10, there's also a really interesting column about the species license fees. And I think it's really reflective of our attitude, or at least our government's attitude, towards wildlife in this province. I mean, you go down this list, and the fee to get a license to kill, for a BC resident, to kill a black bear, $20. To kill a cougar, $30. To kill a wolverine, $8. To kill a wolf, there's none required. Ayo, is that how much we value our wildlife? It you know, we were hoping that with the grizzly hunt ban that this would signal the start of a new era and how the BC government and British Columbians in general interact with and relate to all large carnivores here. And, you know, because just with grizzlies, I mean, there's no justification to trophy kill wolves, black bears, cougars, wolverine, just so this kind of fringe of the hunting community can tickle their fancy. And I think it speaks to the urgent need to reform wildlife management in BC beyond just the grizzly bear issue. And I just want to focus on this one thing quickly, Terry. Wolves are a perfect example of the lack of scientific management of wildlife in British Columbia. You know, it's estimated by the government that approximately 1,200 wolves or more are killed each year by recreational hunting and trapping. And yet the province admits, and this is on their website, that much of the information that their wildlife managers obtain regarding wolf populations is anecdotal, with a reliance on public sightings and observations. So, in other words, the lethal exploitation of wolves that is going on at this kind of staggering level in our province is not based on science. And anecdotes and guesswork, you know, are not scientific data. And, you know, when you substitute those for sound science, they contribute to very poor reasoning and stunningly bad decisions. And, you know, I think it's, you know, hopefully a situation where we've raised the consciousness of both the public and a lot of people in government that with the grizzly hunt issue, that now we need to look at these other species as well.
Well, look at how long it took them to make a decision to do something about the Chinook salmon and various other species in order to protect the resident killer whales. I mean, you know, I just had one of your people on earlier today, and I asked the question with Misty as to whether or in effect that we are past the point of no return. So let's use that as an example going into some of the species in this country. Let's start with the polar bear. We know that global warming is devastating the northern part of their range, and it's growing every single year. The science is there. If anybody argues the science, then I don't know what to tell you about them. But the point is that it is getting worse every year. Where are we when it comes to the polar bear and the ability for somebody to pick up the phone or write a letter from some part of the world and say, I want a license to go and kill a polar bear?
Well, you know, I think you hit on a good, a really important point about the management of these species.
Right.
And you know, we focused a lot on this. I mean, we our scientists, large carnivore scientists at Rancos, published this peer-reviewed study this year in the journal Science Advances, and it was called The Hallmarks of Science Missing from North American Wildlife Management.
Right.
And they identified four key hallmarks of science-based management: clear objectives, use of evidence, transparency, and external review. And what they found was across North America, it was the majority of jurisdictions were not meeting those basic hallmarks of science. And I think that is the case here. You know, most of the population estimates for all these species are seat of the pants. You know, they're not based on rigorous census that have been carried out. I mean, it's massively labor and resource intensive to do a proper census of large carnivores, for instance. And I think this is the, you know, at the heart of a lot of this is that the government, whether it's the federal government or provincial governments, they're able to make assertions because, you know, power creates its own legitimacy. But when you start to investigate and analyze and deconstruct their management, we find that there's a lack of science. And there's also a lack of ethics. You know, and I think this is important.
That's a very important point.
Because can you think of any other realm of public policy other than wildlife management where ethics and morality are not considered?
It's an interesting point. We started on this issue of the black giraffe. I got an email in here from one of our listeners that said a lot of questions to ask. Did she have a license for this rare species? Was she accompanied by a game ranger on the in the country involved in Africa? Did she suffer any penalty for her arrogant cruelty? I can't answer all the questions, but I can tell you, Ron, that U.S. Natural Resources Defense Council has pushed for giraffes to be added to the endangered species list as populations of the animal have fallen 40% since 1985. And according to the Shikari Connection, a website specializing in African hunting, it is legal to hunt for giraffes in South Africa, Namibia, and in Zimbabwe. And at this particular point, she may have had a license, but the point is, was there a kill involved here that had something to do a lot more with just general morality?
Well, and, you know, just because we can do something doesn't mean we should.
That's right. No, I don't disagree with that.
the other thing I think that we should reflect on is, you know, you look at trophy hunting, you look at poaching.
Yes.
And these two activities essentially mirror one another, in my opinion.
They do.
I mean, you have gratuitous killing that is carried out in order to harvest body parts. One is deemed legal, one is not. What's the difference?
Yeah, and they're still taking elephant tusks, they're still taking rhino horns, and the list goes on. Keep up the fight, pal. We'll see where it goes.
Okay, thanks, Terry.
All right, that is Chris Genovelli from the Raincoast Society. We'll be back with you after the 4:30 news. Stay tuned.